Welcome aboard, you people. It is a Starship Rokan show with Anna DeBlantis, off for another day of broadcast insolence.
Yeah. What a day it's been, kind of taking in the news of yesterday and how that turned out so tragically for so many families.
The details that are emerging now about this shooter and his relationship with women and his relationship to violence. There was a point at which he was at the Chicago Fire Academy.
Right. And made a threat.
Right. And was kicked out of the Fire Academy.
He threatened to shoot up the place. Was disciplined and eventually was no longer there.
He has, conflicting whether this is an ex-wife or an ex-girlfriend with whom he had a baby. And she said that she was afraid of him when they were breaking up. They were going through that process. That he slept with a gun under his pillow and that he was easily agitatable. You know, those are the kinds of things that you don't want to hear.
No, and it's sort of haunting because in the file for her case, the ex, that he said, "I'm going to go to your work," and sent her a text message and cause a scene. He obtained 4 guns in the last 5 years, and I don't know if that overlaps, may not even overlap with the order of protection, but certainly that's something that I even heard Lisa Madigan talking about today. When you have an order of protection, it is federal law. They can take your FOID card away when that happens, but it's only for the duration of the order of protection, so unclear if that would either have really have mattered in this case.
Right. So
had his guns legally.
Right. And he had we're told he also had a concealed carry permit. So
yeah,
that's...
he did.
You know, that's an extra layer of information that the government has about you, and there are specific protocols and training and stuff like that in order to have that, and you know that is the first to go on a couple of different, you know, for lesser issues, and so when you stop and you think about the work that these officers did,
right,
who were going in to try to stop this guy, and the speed at which it happens. And, you know, you hear people today, like you do always in these situations, well, you know, if just all the doctors were armed, we wouldn't have had this problem. Or if the person in the front, if everybody had a gun, we wouldn't have this. That's not true. Because when you're still going to have a loss of life. Now, you did have the cops come and stop this guy, you know, with a tragic loss.
Absolutely. And the pharmacy resident who was shot and killed was coming out of the elevator, Dana Less, when she was shot. And so you think about the fast reaction time of these police officers, one who was shot and fatally injured, that we now know, Officer Samuel Jimenez, 28 years old, father of 3. But then his partner also shot and saved by the fact that that bullet struck his gun and his holster and not himself.
Right. Those are shocking pictures, but it just tells you there was a lot of, this guy was prepared for mayhem, was prepared to shoot people, which he did, his ex-fiance, just a random person walking out of an elevator, and then at the police.
Yeah. Unbelievable. And you think about the lives lost. I just, hearing from their families, it's always heartbreaking, but you think of these 3 people who lived lives of service. You have an officer who walked into the gunfire to try to save people. You have an ER doc who has seen at a level 1 trauma facility, a hospital, Mercy Hospital, has seen victims of violent crimes, has treated them. And then Dana Less, this young pharmacy resident who also sought that life of being in the world of medicine, was about to get married and had all of them with their life ahead of them. You know, so much to go, and people of service. It's just absolutely heartbreaking.
And there does seem to be, and kind of draw this out to a grander argument too, about a lack of holding people responsible for their immorality here. And you know, when somebody does have these problems and has, you know, come to the attention of law enforcement, and they were quick to tell us as early as last night that this is a guy that was known to law enforcement, we aren't taking care of business there. We're not making sure that if he does have guns, he does not have access to them anymore. You know, after he's threatened people, after he has been in a situation where, you know, I think if you make a threat and it becomes verified that, mm-hmm. you know, you say you're going to use your gun to kill somebody, to harm somebody. Mm-hmm. I mean, isn't that the moment where the judges have to step in?
Well, you clearly know he had a former order of protection, had threatened to do something like this at his ex's place of workplace, and then
the former ex,
that's yeah. right, and then this current ex, what she said before she died was, he's going to kill me, according to the witness there. I know he's here and he's going to cause trouble, kind of was her tone or reaction. She right. knew that this man was for real, that he was going to do something terribly violent, and he did.
And this is unrelated, but I want to say this anyway because I just want to get this out, and then for the rest of the day, there's a lot of other things that we would like to get to, and this is our last show before Thanksgiving,
yeah.
and there are many things that obviously we put aside yesterday, and we'd like to get to some of those today. But I just want to say this, that I'm not quite sure what I saw happen today in Washington makes any sense whatsoever.
On which issue?
The issue of the Saudi, the U.S. intelligence services went and did their job. U.S. intelligence services went and were able to assess that this was a conspiracy that went all the way to the top to kill this guy who was living legally in the United States, working for the Washington Post, was a columnist, was expressing, if you read his columns, he was not expressing the some sort of radical jihadi perspective. It was really about bringing together mm-hmm. the warring factions in the Middle East and trying to find ways that they can coalesce, things that they agree on, and try to build coalitions. And for the president to put out the statement that he did, in which he does say, well, you know, the Saudis think that he's a member of the Muslim Brotherhood, and that he was a terrorist, he's an enemy of their state, mm-hmm. before he even talks about him, is just clearly taking the Saudi side. And he's nakedly obvious about it. I mean, he's not even... That's the thing about the president. There's no lie in the lie. He just says what he wants to say, and he's not afraid to say it. And that's his whole thing. That's his bit. And I know that attracts a lot of attention, and it also attracts a lot of affection from his followers, mm-hmm. right?
Calling him a great ally, I think, was what got a lot of people.
Were they a great ally on September 11th, right? Mm-hmm. Or September 10th, more
sure,
accurately.
17 of the 19.
Right. I mean, it's a complicated relationship. I understand, and I understand that there are presidents beforehand who have, you know, I mean, we continued to do business with them after they decried, the royal family decried the bin Laden, Osama bin Laden, and the other terrorists, but
they got a bit of a pass over it. I think most could agree,
right? And so, and this has been going on for a long time. But to stand up and say that, you know, listen, it's a bad world. We are a transactional culture. And that's really all that there is to this. So all of that talk about saying we're going to do the right thing, we were never going to do it anyway, so we're just not going to say it anymore. That bothers me. Mm-hmm. I'm troubled by that. I'm troubled that we don't, that our value system does not display it anymore. Even if we don't always live by it, we are no longer displaying it. And if we're not going to display it, who is? Well, no one. And does that mean that that's gone? Is that in the ash heap of history, the idea of standing up to do the right thing, of doing something not just because you're getting paid for it, but because it's morally and ethically right to do? And what does that send? What message does that send to this generation that is coming up now, and everybody else in the country, and then the generation? And what are we teaching? And where does that end? I can just tell you, history has lessons of where that ends. All the way from the Bible to history books of the 20th century, we have seen this not go well. And I think that it's time for a little bit more of a moral reawakening. And I'm shocked that there aren't more, especially conservative politicians, who are not jumping up and down about that, because that has always been an argument of you know, conservative political philosophy for the last hundreds of years, but specifically for the last 75. And it's sort of like, oh, no, okay. a guy can kill a guy, and it's okay. He's going to spend $100 million on aircraft, so it's going to be okay. They're not sanctioning him. They're going to sanction these other 17 guys, some of whom have nothing to sanction. All right. I've said it, and now we'll move on to happier things. Like, why did the market take a poop? We'll find out from Susie Sunshine coming up. I lost Susie Sunshine here. What happened to her?
We hear her music, her walk-up music.
Right, and then we look backstage.
We're like, where's Susie?
That is the worst thing. Don't mind us. Hold on.
It's like, have you ever emceed an event and you've introduced someone and then they don't step up on stage?
Yeah.
And you just start tap dancing?
Oh, yeah. Oh, I have a
great
there.
Feeling.
Oh, it's the best. It's the best.
Or you introduce them and it looks nothing
I
like
will
the
tell
name.
You very quickly, the day after the Sox won the World Series, I was introducing Mayor Daley at the Principal for a Day function. Mm-hmm. And as you might imagine, the mayor had done a little bit of celebrating the night before. And we were tap dancing for 2.5 hours waiting for the mayor. And we just called up official after official to step up to the podium and speak, and it became like an open mic night.
Start thanking everyone.
Really,
thank
you.
Get the janitor, get the school
and
nurse.
All I remember
everyone.
Is Vince Vaughn sitting in the front table right in front of us looking like, oh my God, yeah. I agreed to be here. I thought it was an hour, a quick in and out, and here I am 4.5 hours later.
All right, Susie Sunshine is joining us now. She's our financial analyst. And Ms. Sunshine, can you explain to us exactly why the market's taking a pooper?
Oh, well, it's just having a rough day. It's one of those things. It's just a little moody today. There's no great reason why it's doing this. We've got a couple contributing factors. You think about it, we're going into the Thanksgiving weekend. That's really light volume. A lot of people want to get out of the way and out of their positions before that. Tech has been on a downswing. We're seeing some weakness there today. The good thing is that the tech index actually bounced a little bit since the open this morning. So it's looking better than it was, but it's still negative. And then finally, we've had some retailers report, and people are getting nervous about the holidays. Lowe's, Target, Ross Stores, TJ Maxx have all come out with cautionary comments on sales and increased costs, freight, labor. Those things are hitting them. So all of that is combining to make for a very negative day in the market.
And there's also a triple witching hour thing going on, right? And people are trying to get out of the way of that.
Right. We have options expiring. Another reason to get out of the way. We've tripped. I always hate saying this, but we've tripped a lot of technicals. So some of the program traders, we've seen this pressure on the downward move. When that happens and you're going into a low liquidity weekend, sometimes the programs just say, all right, sell, let's get out of the way. We'll reestablish positions next week. So I think we're seeing some of that.
The other issue, I think, is healthy consumer spending has been kind of what we're seeing in the headlines lately in terms of retail. And it seemed like people were very optimistic and hopeful, but the retail is also taking a little bit of a dive or correction here today.
People were optimistic. I think people were feeling pretty good about it. The consumer themselves is feeling really good, but trucking costs, labor, shipping especially, has gone up a lot. And so we're starting to hear management talk a little bit about that. And while same-store sales might be up 2%, which is good, the margins aren't increasing. And so margins are getting compressed a little bit because of those increased costs. And I think that's what has people worried. It's got the market thinking a little bit about this, saying, uh-oh, how much margin pressure are we going to go through?
Got it. All right. Susie Sunshine, thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Susan.
All right.
Have a good holiday.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Happy Thanksgiving. Brokaw Show with Anna DeBlancis right here,
yes.
720 WGN. Alderman Brendan Riley is with us,
mm-hmm.
City of Chicago.
One of our favorite people.
And let's talk about a couple things here before we launch off into a little bit lighter fare. But obviously, yesterday it's a shocking and sad day for all Chicagoans when a police officer is shot and killed. We had a police officer shot today in the vest
right.
at 87th and Ashland who is fine.
Thankfully.
Thank God for that vest.
Thank God for the vest. Exactly right. And we just had an event in which we celebrated the life of Commander Paul Bauer and his sacrifice. And he was on a way to a meeting with you.
That's right.
When he was killed on February 13th.
Mm-hmm.
And your thoughts just on the job that these men and women are doing every day.
It's unfortunate how underappreciated it is. The men and women in the Chicago Police Department go to work every day expecting to have a routine day, but any one of those officers can have their day shift upside down in a matter of seconds. And I think people forget that these are people out there not just enforcing the law and writing you a traffic ticket if you mess up, but more importantly, they're the first line of defense. When you hear shots fired or a loud boom, everyone else's intention is to get as far away from that as possible. These are the folks that run straight towards it, and that's how they've been trained, and that's why they've signed up for this. It's a calling for most people, and it's frustrating when only the negative stories are focused on, because there are so many heroic acts that occur in our police department every day.
Right.
And it's only when we have these horrific, tragic, awful incidents like what happened yesterday and what happened with Paul Bauer back in February that people pause for a minute and reflect and remember and appreciate. I think that if that happened more often on a day-to-day basis, and frankly, if the broader news media in Chicago spent some time amplifying some of the good acts and the heartwarming stories that involve our Chicago police officers, that might help change the dynamic a bit. That's what's frustrating to me. And obviously, the fact that when folks are told to stop and drop weapons, that's not being respected or obeyed anymore, just puts all these folks' lives at risk day in and day out.
And you saw Superintendent Johnson say, after the woman was killed in the parking lot, the officers responded. They went in as to follow the man at the gunman as he was shooting. And Superintendent Johnson said it's untold numbers of people would have been shot had those officers not been right there.
Absolutely.
To be in the middle of the gunfire as this man was shooting so randomly that a woman coming off an elevator was also shot and killed. I can only imagine the horrific circumstances and the number of people who would be in a hospital lobby for all sorts of reasons.
No, I think the superintendent said it could have been as many as a couple of dozen people. And so, no, thank God those officers were there. I feel nothing but absolute sadness for Officer Jimenez and his family and his three young children at home. And I'll tell you, as I was, getting reports on updates on the scene last night and yesterday afternoon and last night, it did bring back a lot of raw memories and emotions about losing our friend Paul Bauer, our commander here downtown, back in February. It's a really it's a horrific thing. And thank God we have these Chicago police officers out there working for us every day.
Right. And you hear this all the time in incidents like this. Is it was, these are, even though he had just graduated to as they like to say, the real police, mm-hmm. from a probational officer, after training is 18 months before they become fully vested police officers.
Right, just a couple days off that.
And he had just done it, and people talked about him being, a cop's cop. He was very diligent in the mm-hmm. academy. He took the oath of his office very seriously. Was very concerned about the physical rigors and mm-hmm. making sure that he was physically capable of handling what would come after him on the streets. And he really had you got three young kids at home. You hear the stories, and there was something else struck me too. The Tribune reported today that his mom. An older woman was, I'm not sure, was fully
family member.
Figured out, a family member, was heard wailing. She was coming down the street as all the police were in front of their house yesterday afternoon trying to get the family together and transport them to the hospital where he was listed in critical condition. And this woman was in Spanish screaming, they've killed my boy, they've killed my Sam.
Mm.
And, you stop and you think about that other piece of this equation, too, which is that this is a really diverse community,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
that there are people who come to this, who come here or maybe are born here after their parents came here, which is a great story of Chicago, who want to contribute to the greater good of this city.
That's it.
And, and we get caught in the, some of these other narratives, whether they're national narratives, even local narratives about that. And it's, And, you know, we forget about the, you know, the really, the people who are doing all the right things, supposed to be doing the right things. And that's the vast majority.
That's right.
It is.
That describes and I'm lucky to be friends with lots of rank and file police officers. And that describes each and every one of the people that I know. And by all accounts, Officer Jimenez had all the makings to be a model police officer. And that at the 2nd District, even though he was new, people knew that he took his job very seriously, and he was someone who was likely going to be a standout. And so,
and he was responding to an all call at that point. He was responding to a citywide call because he was that the hospital isn't in the 2nd District.
Right, that's right.
And so he was. We played some of the audio yesterday. I don't want to play it again out of respect for everybody, but the audio of the call for service there over the police radios was. You hear everybody moving. Mm-hmm. You hear this incredible professionalism, and these clipped moments of saying, you know, shots fired, and they're all moving toward it without reservation, without fear, without stopping and thinking. I mean, because they are a brotherhood. There was something that caught me too. On Facebook today, there was one of his friends. Who serves with him on the police department, said, "We'll hold the line from here," was the last line of that Facebook post. And it's, and you stop, because that's what it is. It's a brotherhood, sisterhood, of these people who are out on the street every day, and this is what they got to do.
It's such a unique job that unless you're doing it, I don't think you can fully appreciate it. That's
probably true.
That's what I take away from the people who tell their stories about work that are at the police department.
Yeah. So, obviously, the city is going to, there's obviously there will be a funeral. I don't think the details have been announced yet. And, a moment. And I think it's very important as a city to pay very close attention, because there's a healing aspect to this. Pay close attention to all of the tradition that surrounds this. The tradition last night, as they moved his body as the fire department, for the second time this year, created that arch with the flag, the American flag, hanging there, and they enter the facility at the medical examiner's office, the morgue here, and then the procession. Of the funeral, whenever it's going to be in these upcoming days, and what happens there, and watch the pageantry, I guess is the technical term, although it seems to be misapplied here.
But it feels more like solidarity.
Yeah, right.
But yeah,
but the solemn traditions that the police department, as storied. And as beloved as an institution, as the Chicago Police Department is, especially by the people in the city who are either part of it, parents are part of it, grandparents. I mean, they know what all of this means, and they take this all very, 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 very seriously. And it is there's some beauty to it, and there's support, which is nice. There are a lot of organizations that are going to be stepping forward to support this family moving forward, as they have for Aaron and Grace Bauer.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And for the 583 families that throughout the history of the Chicago Police Department have been lost.
And on that note, the Chicago Police Memorial Fund is a great place to give to. Mercy Hospital is also collecting for the victims. But there was at least one GoFundMe page which was not connected to the family. And I think it may have been taken down or flagged. Just
GoFundMe.
Be careful about that, because in cases like this, there are places you can give that are directly connected to the victims.
Chicago Patrolmen's Union. Sets up funds immediately.
And that's probably the most legitimate place to go.
Chicago Police Memorial Foundation, which is part of that. Mm-hmm. That's part of it. There's the 100 Club.
100 Club
that people like to give to. Now, the 100 Club is a national organization. So that's you're for firefighters and police. So right. that's a broader national thing. But if you want, just in terms of giving to that, but if you're specific about wanting to donate to this family, the Chicago Police the Chicago Patrolmen's Union or Credit Union, I should say, Chicago Patrolmen's Credit Union, or the Chicago Police Memorial Foundation. And those are two, basically, if you're giving one, you're giving it to both right there.
That's right.
That's how that goes.
And Mercy Hospital also for the other,
for the other
two victims.
Correct.
Dr. O'Neill and Dana Less.
Right. All right. Let's take a short time out, and then we'll come back to some of the other stuff that's going on in the city. Because, you know, this is always... There was that book, that Tuesdays with Maury, and we like to do Tuesdays with Brendan. And so we like to, have some thoughts about other lighter things. But I think all those words are very important to be spoken today and to be remembered, especially this time of year.
Yeah. Thanksgiving.
Lots to be thankful for, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Brendan Riley is here. He's an alderman in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
There's a mayor's race coming up. Did you hear about this?
I did. I heard there's a few folks running, too.
Yes. I like the fact that three of them were standing in line today. Today is the first day for the petitions or something like that?
Yesterday morning.
Yesterday morning, yeah. All right, that's right. Yeah. So it was yesterday morning.
Yeah.
So today. And who's at the very front of the line?
Who is at the front of the line, Ro? I knew he would be.
Willie Wilson at the front of the line.
How do they bring that many? You have to have, okay, so 12,500 by law, right? But you go over that because a lot of them are eliminated.
A lot of them are bunk. Yeah, no, these stacks are like 5 and 6 feet tall from the ground. And I understand Willie Wilson sent groupies the night before to stay in line. I know that Willie Wilson was not the guy who slept in line, but he sent a couple of his minions for sure.
Yes.
If people do that for concert tickets.
So I was down there yesterday morning filing my own petitions, and it was an absolute circus. There was like 500 people down there who all think they're going to be an alderman or a city treasurer or a clerk, and then the same 200 people that are there every 4 years looking for a job.
It's like the scene of The Run on the Bank in It's a Wonderful Life.
It is.
Right? And the city clerk has to stand up. No, wait a second. No, close the door.
Stop pushing.
3, 2, 1. Lock the door.
So true. But what do they actually do? Do they just sort of accept them? Or do they actually look through them in some way?
No, they're just accepting them, making sure that they're being delivered in the statutorily required manner. And then they have to stamp all their special bureaucratic stamps on them on different pages, and then it's official. You're a candidate for whatever it is you filed for.
It's official.
So that's to get you on the ballot. Well, it's official that you're a candidate, and then they got to go through them, right?
And people can challenge the validity of your signatures to try and throw you off the ballot. That happens a lot.
Because this is a, this basically is a jailbreak of people who are, and some of them, Tom, every once in a while, a few get loose over there at 26th Street. I would be really not shocked to learn that one of them ran right to the city clerk's office to try to file for run. But because there are so many candidates for mayor, one genius political prognosticator told me that ballot challenges are going to be harder this year.
Very.
Because who do you challenge and how many do you challenge?
Well, yeah, you've got Preckwinkle with 60,000, so that's far above almost six times what you need, or five times for sure.
Yeah, I'd like to take a little look at those right away.
You got 60,000. Further inspection.
I'm going to say that 40,000 of them I'd like to take a look at.
Well,
you can only sign one. I mean, tossing people off for signing multiple ballots is going to be almost impossible.
It will be. I don't think they actually have enough time in the election calendar to go through every record, and so.
They can hire those guys from Florida that are constantly looking at the ballots down there.
Well, and people, believe it or not, people actually have built computer programs and scanners to actually expedite this process. But all that said, it's still the volume of signatures to review and a December 3rd deadline, I think that's nearly impossible to accomplish. So what you'll see is those candidates that delivered only 14 or 15,000 signatures, those folks are for sure going to be challenged.
Yeah.
But people who have delivered 50 or 60,000, probably not.
Okay.
That's my guess.
And then ballot position is determined December 5th. That's more of a lottery. So it has nothing to do with being first in line and paying someone to be there for you.
Well, the reason why you saw the circus down at the Board of Elections on Monday morning was that if you put your petitions in at the 9 a.m. start of the filing process, you're put into a lottery. And if you win that lottery, you get the top ballot position in your race. And so some people think that there's a 1 to 2 percentage point advantage in the polls on election day if you have the top ballot spot in a really crowded race. People will either file early for the top spot or they'll file last so they get the bottom spot and they don't get stuck in the middle with all the other names.
Bill Daly's asking that we do this alphabetically.
The whole thing
that's going on right there. Yeah,
he would.
Yeah, or America. Mara Anya Mara. Yeah,
well, she's an E, so yeah. She'd be up there too. Yeah.
So
that would work.
I don't know. Is Chance now? Did Chance show up with her? Did she? I don't think she was one of the people that filed yesterday, though.
No, I didn't. I didn't see her. And it may be that her strategy is to file on the last day to be the bottom name on the ballot there.
Yeah, so if you turn in your signature positions on the last day, then you go to a different lottery for the last position.
That's okay. Correct.
It's all very strategic. You know these rules.
Yeah. Don't worry about it.
Don't worry about it.
Yeah,
that's somebody. You got a guy for that?
Yeah, we got a guy. I got Bert Olson. That's what I got.
Yeah, he's a good guy to have.
Yeah, Burton for certain. That's
good
what you got to have.
Corner.
You got to have that in a moment right there. And Burton's down there just handing out his business card to everybody as they're walking by. I know he's already got it. I know. Bert tells me, I already got a horse in this race. All right. Alderman, thank you very much.
Thanks, Alderman.
Thanks for having me, guys.
And a prayer for our city on this Thanksgiving weekend.
Absolutely.
Brocon Show with Anna DeBlantis right here on 720 WGN.
Yes.
All right. Tom Skillen is joining us. Brought to us by PermaSeal Basement Systems.
How are you, Ro?
Oh, Tom. Tom.
Don't
Tom,
ask
Tom,
those open-ended questions, Tom.
Yeah,
really?
Just, not just good. The short version of that, Ro. You know?
Just the cheery, sort of, you know, social fake
sure.
version of that. It's fine.
Sure.
Have
yeah.
you ever known me in these 3-4 years, however yes. long it's been that we've been working together?
Yes.
Have you ever known me to give you a short answer to anything?
No.
You know what? You're very articulate. You're one of the most articulate people I've ever known. And I've never found your answers, exorbitantly long or
belabored.
Belabored.
He wouldn't say belabored, but I think they're belabored.
No.
I don't know. Everybody else thinks it. My mother thinks that they are. Hey, I should remind people because obviously everything was happening yesterday. I didn't get a chance to mention this, but we still have a few passes left for the first Roel, the holiday show that we're
going
to be doing at
that
Dirty Nelly's.
So cool
in Palatine's, brought to you by New Balance Chicago. It is Friday, December 7th, 3 to 7 in the afternoon. Ides of March going to be there. Carnival Wagon's going to roll out. Special musical guest and very special guest Tom Skilling is going to be there.
Yes. We can't wait.
Oh, I'll tell you, that ought to just bring the crowds out. You know what? I hope a lot of folks show up. I'm really looking forward to this. I don't get often enough a chance to work with you guys, other than at the end of this 5-mile-long T1 line or whatever it's called.
Well, let me explain. Yeah, we really never see each other during this whole thing.
No.
But I would like to say this because this is important. If you would like to attend, you got to be 21 or over. This is an event that benefits the U.S. Marine Corps Reserve Toys for Tots program. So what we're asking you to do is go to WGNradio.com/events and just sign up there. You're going to get a downloaded invitation. Have that with you. And then bring an unwrapped toy, not a gift wrapped toy. The Marines are telling us that they would really like people to focus on... Was it 9 to 12-year-olds?
Boys, or 6 to 9.
6 to
9-year-old
boys.
There's always an area of need every year, sometimes toddlers, sometimes preteens. This year, 6 to 9-year-old boys is an area they have a special need, but you can bring a toy for anything.
That is so cool. This is a time of the year for children and young people. And so for you guys to do this is just terrific. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Thank you to our listeners who have signed up. We have quite a great response very quickly.
Yeah, we did. We had an amazing
really
response.
Quickly.
So I just wanted to, before this all goes away, we'll probably have another opportunity early next week to get a few more people in here. But I just want to sort of throughout the day offer the people who listen specifically at the time of day so that they know that we are doing this. There's going to be a Blackhawks painting by Elliot Fromm, $100 New Balance Chicago gift card, gift set from loveartshoes.com. And then samplings from Sweet Alley's and Morcus Chocolates. Never Measure's going to be there. Tom and I are going to measure each other's foreheads.
good idea.
And this is all brought to you by, I just got to get the sponsors in, then we'll talk about the rest of the world. Brought to you by New Balance Chicago with locations in Lincoln Park, Oakbrook Terrace, Orland Park, and Schaumburg. And also by Apple Chevrolet, Architect of Chicagoland, Morcus Chocolates, Never Measure, and Sweet Alley's.
It's nice.
You guys should have a measure off, you and Tom.
Yeah.
Just measure everything in the room, and then we'll come back with your data,
Tom,
and then we'll grade you.
How far do you think we actually are from Anna? and using the little never measure
thing? I would imagine
circumference
maybe,
of the beer mug.
Maybe 2.5 times, you know, as large. I don't know, you know?
That's how I do it.
Yeah.
So it'll be good. How far do you think the back of the room is there, Tom? I think people are really going to enjoy this. Oh, and a very special visit from Santa Claus.
How yes. about that?
Yeah. Did I mention
yes.
that?
Are we going to be able to sit on his lap or, you know?
That's been asked. We've not confirmed the answer to that yet.
No.
I wouldn't do that to Santa, you know?
It's no. Just,
he's,
he needs
there are
his
weight
lap.
Requirements and restrictions.
Yes. He yeah. does have a... This particular Santa that is going to be joining us, this is put it this way. People might recognize him as Santa. They might recognize him as somebody else. Because Santa, you know, often, you know, is...
Wow.
He looks
like other
people.
Right?
Sure.
But this Santa's got an edge. That's all I'm going to say.
Wow.
Yeah.
Very
it is
cool.
a 21 and over party.
Yeah, it is.
Does
yeah.
he look like Billy Bob Thornton from that movie?
Bad Santa.
Yeah.
Yes.
A little bit like that?
Well, let me just say he's got a little attitude like that.
Okay. Now, is he a member of the WGN family? Or
Can't say.
Oh, can't not, say no.
no
clues.
No, Santa lives at the North Pole, Tom.
Santa does, oh. yeah.
You know where Santa's from.
He's part of every family.
I forgot that for temporarily here. Yeah. That's right.
Yeah. Part of every workplace, part of every
family.
You
got to love Santa. Great guy.
He is a great guy.
And you know what's going to be great is Kev's going to be standing up there dressed as the elf on the shelf, and he's going to, he doesn't know this yet.
He doesn't know this yet.
But he's going to be standing up there.
Oh, all of a sudden I can't come. Sorry.
The look on his face just now, you can't see it, but he's like, what?
Hey, Santa. Is that the real Santa? Santa? It's going to be like Elf, actually, the movie Elf, which is,
sure.
You know, when it comes to like the greatest of Christmas movies,
yeah,
you know, Christmas Vacation, still absolutely my favorite. I mean, I can think of almost every scene in that movie and laugh to myself.
Right.
Yeah.
But I guess, but I really do love Elf. Elf is, you know, it's one of those, it's a more modern classic, but it is... It is great.
It is good.
Will Ferrell's amazing.
I need to watch that again.
Yeah.
This year. Every year.
Yeah. Well, it's good. Because it was a TNT or one of those. That's all there are on now.
Mm-hmm.
Starting Thursday afternoon, there's going to be nothing but Christmas movies. And there's an extra week of Christmas this year.
Mm.
Why is that?
Because Thanksgiving is the earliest it can possibly be.
Oh, I hadn't thought about that.
That would be good for retail.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
5 weeks of shopping.
Well, it's almost the earliest it can possibly be, right? Well, it's the 22nd. I think that is the earliest it can possibly be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would seem...
Are you guys doing anything special for Thanksgiving?
I'm going out to the parade that I know WGN is going to be broadcasting. I love that parade. I think it's the most underappreciated parade of
it
all parades
lovely.
In the city because it's so fun. And
it
it's like
is.
A mini Macy's Thanksgiving parade. But they do such a good job. And you guys do a great job covering it.
Oh, I tell you. We're looking forward to it. We're going to be on the float. And that's always a lot of fun. You're right.
You just got to get up early. And I think that's hard for some of the kids, like the Violettas and the Kevins of the world. They don't make the 8 o'clock parade.
After Blackout Wednesday? I don't think so,
exactly.
No.
Well, those guys can come. They can come right
come.
Over from Rush Street. You
exactly.
know, and just, it's kind of, they're kind of downtown and close, you know, so...
Yeah, let's hop over there.
Yeah,
I don't think you want us there, though,
no,
if we're coming straight.
No, from Hubbard. Now, Hubbard is even closer.
I see, yeah.
I mean, just come right across the bridge.
Sure.
Stumble over there.
Stumble over.
They have, like, little...
Stand there.
Well, you know, and having... Adult beverages, you're warm, you know, and so you can deal with the cold
warm up from the inside.
Tom, you think you're warm.
Yeah, right. Yeah, you don't care.
It turns out you're not warm, but you have this thought in your head. Yeah, no,
I shouldn't kid about that. Those guys are. Yeah, I'll tell you, Kevin and Violetta, you two are terrific. You put up with all this very, very, very well.
Well, I'm feeling better, so I can probably go out on Wednesday now.
Boy, you know, Violetta, we've got it going through the ranks over here, too. I noticed Joe Donlin had a kind of a raspy throat last night.
Wait, what?
Your
not
friend?
Joe.
What? Not Joe.
They're BFF?
What can we do for him? Should we get chicken soup?
They're bestie?
We better get some chicken soup or something.
Yeah, what? All right.
I haven't
Kev,
heard.
You and I, we're going to go right now.
I'm on it.
All right.
Let's go. One of those meal delivery companies to ship it over to GNTV on Bradley Place.
Yeah. Be careful coming into the parking lot, though. They're putting a big fence up around the station, and one of the driveways is cut off. I nearly drove into all the cones they had out there blocking off the driveway.
Maybe they're just going to start doing driver's testing there.
It could be.
Because you're not too far from the driver's facility up there.
Yeah. I think Pat Tomasulo is looking to charge for parking again. You know, that's what it is. He still believes that he owns the place. Yeah. You know?
Imagine what you could get if you really did charge for parking over there.
I know.
I mean, really.
You know what? The parking lot at this station is one of the amazing attributes of this television station here on the Northwest Side. You never have to hunt. There's always a place to park. Now, sometime, you know, you're an acre and a half away, but it's still kind of nice.
It is nice.
Well, and sometimes the helicopter lands on your car.
That's true.
A separate issue,
too. That gets to be a bit of a problem, yeah.
Because you have a helipad out there. You got the whole thing. It really is. It's like space age. It's space age as it was imagined in 1962.
Yeah.
Is exactly what that building is. Around there is there's like windy little road, right? That actually is, you know, the street that you're on.
That's right, Bradley Place.
Bradley Place.
Yes.
It's a windy little road, and somehow you end up at a cable company I've never heard of. That's the one thing that happens. Yeah. You pull up.
The RCN folks are over here.
You're like, now who's got the RCN? I don't know.
Or a little kid's birthday party, which all of them are back there now.
Actually, there's a lot of stuff going on over here now. You know, we used to have that big electrical manufacturing plant, and it's become the home to so many different. There's a gym over there.
There's Windy City Ninjas. There's like a little soccer area over there.
And the Tribune has an office over there in that complex, too, I guess.
Do you know
that this facility out here is, I understand it, was built to be a Northwest Side distribution plant for the Tribune, or site for the Tribune, years ago. And when radio and television separated, they needed more room for the TV, so they moved out here. And at that time, radio came out here, too. So, and then radio went back downtown again. What was it? I guess it was the mid-'80s, right? Yeah.
86, I think.
Yes.
And then from that, then you know, this year, from 86 to 2018, we moved over, you know, away from the Tribune Tower. Nobody is at the Tribune Tower anymore.
No.
Tribune isn't there anymore.
And that facility you guys work from is just, I mean, that is state of the art. It is gorgeous.
Very lucky.
There was a lot of thought put into that radio station, I'll tell you that. And that's not surprising because it's WGN.
Yes,
know?
That's true. I've learned that the hard way.
Yes.
Yeah. You can't slack around here. You know? You try to be a slacker and you're like, oh, no.
I know. That's true.
It's not the tradition.
Yeah.
They've got all of these. It's a very glassy structure, but I should mention this. It's very cool. We have a central master control area that's like, you know, where all of all the wires meet in the home run, as they call it, and they've got you know, power sources. It's like a crazy. It's like that is it. It's like walking into a sci-fi futuristic sci-fi movie.
It is, and you've got monitors everywhere. It looks like
people should be floating in there, right?
True.
Like they're like in space. But they've put over the glass, they have put these decals, like these see-through stickers of pictures from WGN's history. And it's like, you know, there's Franklin Roosevelt with a WGN microphone. And it's like, and all the way through, like, you know, from the 1930s on, it's amazing.
Amazing history. It really is. It's kind of like, you know, a little mini history of the city and of the world in which we operate.
The GN helicopter, which was the first of its kind to do helicopter traffic reporting.
I remember when I started here in 1978, Jim Cavanaugh was one of the chopper pilots. And I remember I'd see him leaving and I said, Jim, how are you today? And, you know, it must be cool flying. He said, I'm terrified of it. He said, it scares me every day I go up. And I was surprised to hear that.
Mm-hmm.
But
because
you would never know it. But
that's, you know, from your pilots and your surgeons. Those are two things. Oh, it must be cool to be a surgeon. I'm terrified.
Yeah, right.
All right, hold on. Give him the gas.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, God, yeah. Oh, boy.
I know.
I haven't lost one in 2 hours, so I'm feeling pretty good about
it
now. All right. Very quickly, if you want to tell people what's coming up for Thanksgiving and the forecast.
Yeah, Thanksgiving is going to be chilly. This has been a chilly month. It's just amazing. Literally, all but the West Coast and the southern Florida has been cooler than average. We're going to stay cool through Thanksgiving. It'll warm up on Friday and Saturday, but we bring some moisture in, so it'll rain Friday night and Saturday and taper to drizzle in the afternoon. Then Sunday, there's a big storm developing. There's going to be a windy affair, and late in the day Sunday, it could start raining, and then rain Sunday night with wind. It'll be a cold rain, and we may go over to some wet snow on Monday. We've got to watch this one. It has the earmarks of an early season winter storm, and I think areas north and west of here could be in for quite a snow. If this thing turns tracks differently, then there could be trouble. But we're talking about early next week, not over the holiday period. So those are the highlights of the weather. It's actually pretty quiet, and we're going to get some rain into California. That's a little concerning because it may be a bunch of rain, and that's the last thing they need out there. And then it'll move into the Rockies and start snowing on all the mountaintops and ski resorts out there. So the winter snow season is well underway.
Okay. All right, you're fired. Thank you very much.
All right.
Tom. Go pick up the final check.
Thanks, Tom. But stick around at least for the party.
But we will see you at the Christmas show.
At least hang on to me that long, you know? I'm really looking forward to this. Yeah, thanks for the invite.
No, thank you for doing it.
That's all right.
Thank you, Tom.
You bet, Ro.
With Anna DeBlantis right here on 720 WGN. All right. Adam Hogue is joining us by way of Super Celebrity Satellite Communications.
Hopefully he can tell us what the heck is going on.
Wait. Let's just set this up.
All right.
Let's just set this up. Late in the game on Sunday night, which I consider to be one of the most important Bears victories of the 21st century, and one of the more entertaining performances of that team in the 21st century. I mean, the 2016 was pretty great. A lot of fun to watch. And there were some great defenses along the way, certainly in the 2000s. But it's been really rough in the 20-teens. And there's no two ways around this.
No.
And now they're back, and they're fun. And even, you know, Al Michaels and Chris Collinsworth were like, you know, hey, NFL, Chicago Bears are for real, and they are here to make a statement, right? Everybody agrees on that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that show, that game was it. The end of the game, you have Trubisky, which, you know, everybody kind of takes a little bit of a deep breath when you see him run out of the pocket like he does. Any quarterback that you would like to hold on to, you worry about. I was a lot less worried when Rex Grossman was running out of the pocket, quite honestly. But there was a moment, he slid down, and then a guy landed on his shoulder, got the flag for a late hit after the, you know, defenseless quarterback. But not before damage was done to that shoulder. Adam Hogue, what can you tell us about the condition of Mitchell Trubisky for Thursday's game?
Well, here's what we know, guys. Matt Nagy said today that he does not foresee it being a long-term injury. He does not think he'll need surgery. And based on some insight that I got from Dr. David Chow, who's a pro football doc on Twitter, who's all over these NFL injuries, and usually, I'd say about 95% of the time, spot on, he looked at the video and did not think there's major damage either. Now, playing less than 48 hours from now is much different, though. I mean, that's all the good news. I don't think we have a major quarterback injury here.
You don't have a tear or something. We don't know. I think they'd have to tell us that. They'd already have pulled him for Thursday.
Right, and I'll say this. We get to see a very limited portion of practice today, and what we saw, Mitch was out there with the quarterbacks but did not throw a ball. However, his arm wasn't in a sling or anything like that. And, you know, just
was
going
this
back
on his throwing arm? Was this on his right shoulder?
Yeah, it is. And so I watched from the moment that hit happened, and it was Harrison Smith who hit him blatantly late. And that's why, by the way, they have these rules now. When a quarterback gives himself up, you're just supposed to touch him, you know? Mm-hmm. And really, you don't even need to touch him anymore. Now the rule is if you slide, the play's dead. And he came in late, and so he hit him in his left shoulder, but as a result, his right shoulder got crunched into the ground, mm-hmm. and his arm was kind of extended. So,
and right when he got up at him, I go, oh boy, because he started rolling his shoulder out. He was kind of stretching it a little bit. I go, it didn't look significant at the time, but you're like, that's something. You know, everybody has their fingers crossed every time he's running the ball. And then to see him, especially the throwing shot, for me, I'll be stunned if he plays Thursday.
Is that what the doctor said?
They even said that. I'm just saying for me personally that there's quick turnaround.
What did the doctor say? Just what the doctor... This is like a family dynamic. Adam, just to give it to us straight. What did the doctor say?
We need the news.
Well, let me make it clear. This is not the Bears doctor.
I don't care. No. He's a doctor.
It's the best we got.
He says he's doubtful.
I got it. I got it. Kevin, I got it. Right here. They asked a question. Here's the answer from the doctor. Dr. David Chow at ProFootball.com on Twitter. His analysis is that it led to possible stretching of the labrum or pinching/bruising of the rotator cuff. I hear that, and I don't like those words when they're talking about a throwing shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
And so that just has me a little bit nervous. Now, he also said he doesn't think it's major damage. Based on that, now here's my opinion. I don't play him Thursday. You got a week and a half after that to rest him up for the next game against the Giants. That would just be how I would handle it. And Matt Nagy also said today that they're going to handle it similar to the Khalil Mack, Allen Robinson situations where they clearly were on the, you know, playing on the side of caution there and held them out longer. So I'm with you, Kev. I'm kind of leaning towards maybe not playing him on Thursday.
So if you play Chase Daniel, he's saying all the right things. I know the offense. Mm-hmm. I'm very comfortable. We got this great. It's all good. How does that change the dynamic, and what would we expect there?
Well, look, here's the good news. He's been in this offense before. The reason he's here is because he was with Matt Nagy in Kansas City. The bad news is he's been in the league for 10 years and has started 2 games. He's mm-hmm. thrown 78 passes in the NFL. Both of his starts were what you would want from a backup. He came in, he ran the offense, he didn't kill you. He has 1 touchdown in his career and 1 interception in his career.
I don't like these little numbers that you're bringing up. All I know
2 games
is that he... Stop. You see, you're saying little numbers.
I wasn't sure I heard it.
I don't
right.
like when people go 1 or 2. I just don't like that. It makes me feel insecure. But but watching him in the preseason... And I know the preseason's a very different thing, because they were very sparing with Trubisky, and they wanted to see these other guys and what they had. I was actually really impressed with Chase Daniel, because he was with Nagy. He knows the offense. He's not learning this for the first time this season, right? I mean, obviously there's some new wrinkles to it, but I think that I actually am kind of... this is kind of crazy to say, but I'm somewhat confident here. And I got to tell you, Detroit, I know Detroit won against Cam Newton, but that's not the same Carolina Panthers that we are used to. And that was at home, as this is going to be, obviously, on Thursday in Detroit. I don't see this. I'm just glad this isn't against the LA Rams.
Well, yeah, exactly. And I'm with you, bro. I think this is a game they can win with Chase Daniel. Look, we saw it 2 weeks ago. The Bears are way better than the Lions. They're way better. Just on paper, with the talent and the depth chart, the Bears are way better. Now, that doesn't mean, and I was already talking about this Sunday night, immediately following the win over the Vikings, which I agree was one of the best wins that this franchise has had in a really, really, really long time, that this is just sort of setting you up for letdown in this game on Thanksgiving. There's a lot of factors that go into it. But Chase Daniel, we talked to him today. He clearly has confidence running this offense, and he knows it like the back of his hand. That's how he put it. And so I think he can go out there and operate. And what he takes away, though, is he doesn't have the same raw talent that Mitch has, the same arm. But the question is, does he have a better arm than Mitch has right now, if that arm is hurting him? And
well,
he might.
Okay. I have to say, though, I mean, Mitchell Trubisky has a cannon. Yes, we all agree on that. But he has a tendency to throw the ball over the head of the receivers down the field because that cannon, he hasn't quite calibrated the cannon yet. And, you know, you might, with a guy who's been around a little longer, despite only having 2 starts, he's played in a number of games. He's the quarterback for, you know, the scout, right? So he's in practice a lot. He's running that offense a lot. I think I'm not as scared as I normally would be. Although I am going to start drinking at 10 a.m. on Thursday.
I can't wait for that. I'm looking forward to beers for this game. The Bears, the reason I would be surprised if Trubisky plays is because of how well the defense is playing. That also factors into this as well. You can go in and play that sort of old school Bears game where you just kind of try to run the ball and don't turn it over and let the defense do their thing. I'm anticipating kind of a sloppy, ugly game Thursday, considering it is such a quick turnaround. But the Lions are banged up too, Adam. Let's not overlook that as well. Kerryon Johnson, what's his status and what's the injury report looking like for Detroit on Thursday?
Yeah, I would be surprised if Kerryon Johnson plays.
They're running back.
Yeah, he's been a great pickup for them and looked pretty good. I mean, because they were worried that he tore his ACL on Sunday. Now, those tests came back negative, so it's not that bad. But to turn around and play just a few days later, and I'm just looking at the injury report right now, he did not practice today either with that knee injury. That Marvin Jones did not practice. And they're still dealing with injuries from 2 weeks ago against the Bears when A'shaun Robinson, their defensive tackle, went out. Now, Darius Slay could be back, and Darius Slay is their top corner, and he did not play in that game against the Bears 2 weeks ago where Trubisky was just lighting them up all over the place. So their secondary could be in better a better place than it was when it looked absolutely awful 2 weeks ago at Soldier Field.
Now, is the backup quarterback Cody Parkey?
If you get to that point, just put Khalil Mack in there.
Yeah, Khalil can play that. He plays.
Although, can we talk about Cody Parkey for a second? Because I haven't had a chance to talk to anybody about this, obviously, sure. With all the tragedy of yesterday.
Yeah.
Cody Parkey had a pretty great game on Sunday.
Yeah.
Right?
He did.
I mean, it was solid. He even hit the target that they put out there.
Mm-hmm. You know,
they
were like, it was a nice solid target right in the middle.
Right in the middle.
I think there was a fan holding it though, wasn't it?
Yes. Mm-hmm. They said Mike
Thank
Kipke,
you.
But at some point. But yeah,
thank you to the fan.
If you could bring that to Detroit, we'd really appreciate it. But that's right. I mean, that's so we got to feel like that was a comeback. And they interviewed him after the game, though. It was almost like a humiliating thing.
Aww.
It's like having the kid. It was almost like Special Olympics in some respects.
Stop.
Because it was like they were saying to him, hey, you know, it's so nice of you to just, you know, show up and participate. And I'm like, whoa, this is the NFL, right?
Yeah. Here's what I got on Cody Parkey. For one, I like that those kicks, I mean, he was drilling them straight down the middle, and they were going in a straight line. Okay, even when he was making his kicks earlier in the year, they're kind of drifting left and right, and you're like, all right. In the NFL, you want your kicker just drilling it right down the middle.
And that's mm-hmm. that is what he did Sunday night. Here he is after. Now, listen to this. I mean, it does sound like the kid who was on the fourth grade team, right? Who's being talked to by the coaches. See, mommy told you you were going to have a better game.
After the four misses last week, you had a chance early in this one to get up and line up for that first field goal attempt. What was going through your mind?
Not a whole lot. You know, Coach sent me out there because he's confident in me, and he didn't even hesitate to call it right there. So that was really big for me. I went in, and my snapper and my holder did an incredible job, Pat Scales and Pat O'Donnell, and, you know, we made it. So, you know, there's a lot of highs and there's a lot of lows in this game, and for me it's just important to stay in the middle and just take it one day at a time.
Okay. Stay in the middle. That's important.
He did say he's planning on practicing at Soldier the rest of the season as well. So.
He is?
That's
before home games. Every time there's a home game, which we're
still
a few
weeks away.
Yeah, he's going to go down to Soldier Field every week now.
That's not the middle.
Adam, did you watch that classic last night? What a game. Ooh. It sort of feels like Roe and I were talking about this before. That I was kind of walking into a new era of football here. That was something last night.
I enjoyed every minute of that game.
That was wild.
And football game, regular season football game I have ever seen.
Amazing. Couldn't turn away.
There were 14 combined touchdowns in that game. To put that in perspective, the Buffalo Bills have scored 13 touchdowns all season.
The stats are outrageous. 925 yards.
It's insane.
Right.
What a game.
Total 11
offense,
touchdowns.
Right. Wait, I think in receiving yards, was it nine, or is it total offense, 925 yards?
They pretty much broke every offensive every
single
that's game.
That's going
record.
Up and down the field 10 times. And they were scoring. Did the
56 first downs.
It was nuts. And then each one was answered by another.
Can I tell you the Bears connection here? And significant Bears connection in my mind.
Of course.
With this game last night. Every single organization of football was watching that game last night and realizing how far behind they are starting to fall back, right, in mm-hmm. terms of offense. And every owner in the league is going, I want that. I want that coach. I want that quarterback. I want that on my team. That the Chiefs and the Rams have. And guess what? The Bears are one of the few other teams in the league, maybe the Saints and the Bears and, I don't know, you don't say the Packers anymore, that might actually have that coach and quarterback connection. And yeah. And I don't think the Bears are that far behind.
Oh, God, you're going to make me cry. You're going to make me cry. All right, we got to go. All right.
Okay.
Thank you very much. Great job today. Thank you
very much.
Thanks,
Adam.
Absolutely.
All right. Adam, our Bears insider, and he the best in the business, and you got something here that you didn't get anywhere else. A doctor speculating about what happened, mm-hmm. which is, you know, it's hard to get a doctor to speculate. We got one.
They don't, usually.
Right. But I think it's not going to be Mitchell Trubisky on Thursday. So, again, oh, boy. I'm going to...
I still got a good feeling about
I'm
it.
I'm overcooking my turkey. Oh, boy. Rokan Show with Anna DeBlantis right here on 720 WGN.
It's 5 o'clock. Look at that.
It is 5 o'clock. Hey, I told you, you know, this is kind of... amazing, and mm-hmm. I'd like to thank the WGN listeners, especially those of you who listen in the afternoon.
Yeah,
the first Roel is sold out.
Look at that.
We just got the email based on the last time we just mentioned it. We've only been able to promote this about 5 times so far.
Right.
We are over capacity already for reservations.
Thank you to all
for the show.
Up. It's going to be a fun time.
It's going to be December 7th. So if you can still register for the wait list, because people will move and they will cancel. So go ahead and get on the wait list, and then we may be opening up that list in the last day or so beforehand, too, depending on you know how many people. But that's what we need to get a head count, because Dirty Nelly's in Palatine is it's a big place, but it's sure. not that big of a place.
Right.
But based on our response so far, we could have done this at the United Center.
Apparently so.
Take that, Michelle Obama.
Oh, huh? This is going to be fun.
Wow.
Well, and I guess it goes without saying, but let's say it. If you do feel as if you've registered and you can't use your tickets, then jump out, because others would, we can offer them to someone else.
Right.
But we're excited that you're coming.
Ides of March, Carnarvon Wagon, special musical guest, Tom Skilling, in a rare public appearance.
Maybe you've heard of him. Kind of a big deal in this town.
Santa Claus is going to be there.
A very special Santa Claus.
United States Marines are going to be there. They're going to be accepting the toys that you're bringing for Toys for Tots. We want to raise thousands of toys. We've got a big tree we're going to put them under. Live music. Very, very crowded bar. It's everything that I dream about. You know, like some people have sugar plums in their head when they're dreaming.
What do you dream of, Ro?
Manhattans.
Oh. Well,
that's what I dream
everybody's
of.
Everybody's got their thing.
Maraschino cherries in Manhattan. All right. Thank you so much. That is such an honor that has happened here. So I'm sort of beside myself here as I move forward. All right. Let's get started with the top five.
It's the top five on the Rokan Show.
Five.
Let's go.
4, 3.
Now, it's the top 5 at 5 on the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis. Sponsored by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again.
Ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Get on with it.
That we will do.
Number 5.
18 hours after the loss of a Chicago police officer at Mercy Hospital yesterday, another Chicago police officer was shot in the line of duty. Luckily, this time being shot in the vest, in his bulletproof vest, through the E of the word police.
Yeah, right on his back.
Is where he was struck. And this happened this morning at 87th and Ashland. It was a traffic stop. Offender got out of the car, started running away. There was an exchange of gunfire. The offender was hit. The police officer was hit in his vest. The offender has been stabilized. And he's recovering at little company, as the police officer was also taken there to be evaluated, and he is going to be if he
he's
going to
be okay. Superintendent Eddie Johnson just a little bit bruised up, but expected to make a full recovery.
Yeah, because even though the vest is taking that impact, you're still getting hit by a bullet.
Sure.
And even though it's not penetrating you, it's knocking you down. It's creating that compression in the chest and all those kinds of other things. So mm-hmm. obviously you have to be very, very careful in a situation like that. And thank God he was wearing his vest, as all Chicago police men and women do.
But another reason why the work you've done with Get Behind the Vest campaign for the CP Memorial Foundation, the Chicago Police Memorial Foundation, is important to keep those.
Now, those vests, they deteriorate over time, mm-hmm. and every 7 years you got to change them out. And then police officers are responsible for paying for them themselves.
Or like this officer who's been shot can no longer use that vest. He'll need another one.
Right. And the police do not pay for that vest.
No.
It's one of the crazy things.
Isn't it?
Yeah. So Police Memorial Foundation pays for those for officers because they don't want to add another name to the wall, as we're going to have to do anyway this week. And here is Eddie Johnson talking about this morning.
The events of last night were tragic, horrific. But you see these officers come out here today, put on that vest, put on that star, and put on that gun, and go out and do what we do every day. And that's to serve and protect the citizens of this city, despite what happened. You know, you ask yourself, who goes to protect a complete stranger? Never knew the person, but they go to do that. The CPD, that's who does it. We don't question it because that's what we do.
It's very powerful speech he gave. He just talked. What person runs into a man firing shots in a lobby with the sole intention? Go ahead. Did we have some more?
These officers could have pulled back. You know, that nonsense about officers are on their heels and not interacting. There's a gang conflict going on in the 6th District. This guy was acting suspiciously. Based on their training and their instincts, they put a stop on him. And their instincts turned out to be correct. You don't learn that in a textbook. You don't learn that in a classroom. You learn that on the street. That's where your police acumen develops.
Yeah. He was talking, he also addressed the events yesterday with the officer who was killed, Jimenez, talking about what kind of person runs into a man firing shots in a lobby with the sole intention of protecting people they do not know, and that's a member of the Chicago Police Force, and talked about how they take heat when there are problems, and that's not to say that we shouldn't be, we shouldn't scrutinize some of their actions, but that this is representative of what the men and women of the police department do every day.
And most police officers around the country, in all
across the country,
big cities, small towns, sheriff's offices, wherever they are, they run toward the gunfire. So we have to give credit to all of those men and women who do that job and do it well.
Absolutely.
But the Chicago Police Department enjoys probably not the right word, but it has a reputation, as a lot of big city police departments do, for some of the things that bad actors have done throughout the years. And to me, it's one of the great tragedies. And I know that sometimes we relish in our bad reputation here, and we kind of wear it as a badge of honor in Chicago, a little bit about political corruption and things like that. And we try to make it funny, because if we don't make it funny, then it'll stick, is I think the way we look at it. But the vast majority and the work that the Chicago Police Department does day in and day out. And if you have interaction with the Chicago Police Department, and you know you're a solid citizen, you're not running away from them and firing back at them. That's if you are a citizen and you're having an interaction, you need help, or you find yourself in a confrontation and you're trying to get help from them.
Yeah.
That's who you want. You want those people, and they've seen a lot. I mean, these guys, these men and women, the stuff they see on the streets of Chicago, they can be soul-sapping. There's no question about it. But they are amazing, amazing, amazing to work with. And that has been my lifelong experience with them. As a kid growing up in the city of Chicago, as a who got pulled over more than once, as a reporter, as a person who does this, as a person who's on the board of the Police Memorial, we deal with them a lot, and
yeah, I have too.
They're amazing,
yeah,
and they do need to have people. It's the one thing that is very true. They do need to be recognized for what it is that they do, because I think one of the issues that they confront, and there has been. There's a very high suicide rate in this year, a jump from this year over last. And part of it is because of the trauma of what goes on with these young men and women who are out working in the most dangerous places. Some of them have come back, from war-torn places, and they're on the streets here. And they're like, how did this happen? Mm-hmm. Right? So thank them when you see them. Checking in at
number four.
President Trump issued what can only be described as a bizarre statement, announcing that the U.S. is going to stand by Saudi Arabia regardless of whether the Crown Prince ordered the murder of Washington Post writer in Turkey, Khashoggi, as the CIA has reportedly concluded.
We put out a statement on Saudi Arabia, which I guess most of you have seen, and we'll see how that all works out. It's a very complex situation. It's a shame, but it is what it is. Because it's America first to me. It's all about America first. We're not going to give up hundreds of billions of dollars in orders and let Russia, China, and everybody else have them. It's all about, for me, very simple. It's America first.
It's about talking about military orders. So even if the Saudis were behind this brutal murder, dismemberment, and dissolving of his body, which is what the CIA believes happened, that as long as we're still, as long as it's good for American businesses, then the values of the United States, especially, and killing a journalist, obviously, is to try to, silence a critic. It's not just killing somebody because you don't like him. It's because you don't like him because he's saying something about you that might be true. Yeah. And so then our values take a back seat to that military arms contract, which, by the way, the Saudis are not going to give up on, as long as we're willing to sell it to them. The issue really should be, would we still be willing to sell it to a government that we can't trust like that? Because they still need it. They're not going to go to Russia. They're not going to go to China. They can't get the same material, and it would not coordinate with the stuff they have already purchased. They already have, and we, it's a single line system. It would be like all of a sudden, you're not going to buy Apple anymore. You're going to go right to PCs, and nothing will talk to it. The two things won't talk to each other, and they're not going to do that. So that's a false argument that the president is waging there. He doesn't want, the real thing is, he doesn't want oil prices to go up and slow up the economy. And I understand that, but is the idea of America more important than this temporary moment in operations in America? That is a question that we have to answer. And obviously, the president's already answered him for himself. Top 5 of 5 continues.
Number 3.
Snoop. Snoop Dogg.
This was great.
Now be referred to as the 2,651st recipient of the Star of Hollywood Walk of Fame. Ceremony took place today in the Gin and Juice rapper's home state of California. He gave special thanks to Quincy Jones.
He's just always been like a mentor to us, been like a big brother to us, trying to help us understand that we need to be more positive and more instrumental with our voices. And now that I'm looking back at it, and now we at this date, I can say that I'm thankful for Quincy for being who he was, for trying to tell us to get our lives right and to be more positive and more productive. Because now that I'm a positive, productive man, I can walk around more peaceful and more happy. And I want to thank you, Quincy, for instilling that in me, and hopefully I'll instill that into the young generation of rappers so they won't have to go through the mess that we went through and cut the mess early and just get straight to the business.
My favorite part of that speech is where he after he thanked the other people, he thanked himself and went on. They want to thank me for being me at all times and just how great I am. And he was very much about himself, too.
I got to meet him a couple of weeks ago, and he is one of the most approachable celebrities I have ever encountered.
I could see that.
Nice, took pictures with everybody, was, very playful on the air. And he's got a charisma. He's got this really...
No question.
I couldn't figure out why, because, he's very... He works a lot, right? I mean, he's like on every television show. Mm-hmm. He's best friends with Martha Stewart. I can't figure out any of that.
Can't figure that out either.
And I was like, now what is this guy? He does, he's got that intangible. He's got that magic thing about him.
Yeah.
It's kind of interesting.
He's a D-O-double-G.
Yes, I know. I know.
Do you?
Yes. And the people, they wanted to go out and smoke dope with him after the show.
Okay.
And I'm like, I don't think I should do that. It's a little scary.
Number 2.
The world of darts is not free of controversy. But something doesn't smell right about this latest claim of impropriety. A Grand Slam of Darts match between Scotland's Gary Anderson and Denmark's Wesley Harms stunk up the stage, literally. Both players claiming the other one kept passing gas during the match to throw off their opponent. Anderson was asked about who was the culprit.
He said that it was smelly on the stage.
I thought Wesley had farted on stage. Yeah. Did he?
No. I think he thinks you did it.
I thought he had and I went, that's dirty. It was bad.
It was bad?
It was bad.
Yeah. And he thought it was you?
Oh no, hands up. Swear on my kid's life. So help me God. Nothing crossed.
But it was smelly anyway?
It was smelly. Usually if I fart on stage, I myself. And you know that because I've told you in a documentary. No, definitely came from, it was table
what is
side.
Happening?
And it was eggs. Rotten eggs.
Jeez. I'm not sure I understood any of that, but it's really funny.
I'm not sure. I mean, who knew that the world of darts was this competitive? This
darts and farts go right. together, yeah. hand in hand. That's part of the strategy of darts that I didn't know about until
I'm
this moment.
I'm doing nothing but eating eggs and broccoli before I go out onto the stage. Eggs and broccoli.
I heard asparagus.
Milk, eggs, broccoli, asparagus. That makes me pee stink, too.
Oh, okay, right. That's different.
Then I have a lot of beer. And then they go and they play the darts. And they fart up at the darts. Oh. There's tears in their eyes and they can't see the trip 20.
It'll take me two nights to lose the smell from my nose.
Oh, God.
Oh, was God. The best quote from all of that.
Oh, God. Really?
Aren't
they worried about Brexit?
I couldn't understand the others.
Don't they have more important things to worry about?
Number one.
Okay. So this happened. It's, you know, Thanksgiving week, so they're pardoning the turkeys,
mm-hmm.
right, at the White House. So the president and Melania got out there to pardon them. And, the president could not help himself.
Even though peas and carrots have received a presidential pardon, I have warned them that House Democrats are likely to issue them both subpoenas. Nonetheless, in the spirit of Thanksgiving, I will be issuing both peas and carrots a presidential pardon. Unfortunately, I can't guarantee that your pardons won't be enjoined by the Ninth Circuit. Always happens.
It's always a pun, Philadelphia.
He'll be here all week.
He'll be in Florida.
Yes, actually, he will be in Florida.
He won't be there. Yeah,
thank God. Mm-hmm.
The top five at five.
Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis right here, 720 WGN. All right, we're heading. We're heading really toward the holiday here.
Starting to feel like it.
Tomorrow is the last day that any real business gets done before January 7th.
It's kind of true.
About how that goes.
Productivity really takes a nosedive about now.
It's a really different situation now. So
it's a lot of online shopping and extra time to do it, as you pointed out earlier. Thanksgiving's early, so the holiday shopping season extends.
Good Lord.
It's Christmas season, okay, guys? It's been brought back.
The war,
have to say holiday anymore.
The war is over.
It's over.
We say Merry Christmas. I got all my Valentine's Day shopping done, so I'm excited about that and ready to get out there for St. Patty's Day. Who's going to join me for the parade? Moving on.
Yeah. I'm very hopeful. I'm very hopeful that we are going to have a great Christmas season. We got an extra week of it. And we had an amazing announcement today about our holiday show.
Yep.
In four
Huge.
Days of promotion, sold out.
Incredible.
We are at capacity.
Yay, it's going to be a party.
Yeah, it's all because of you.
No, I'm just excited to go to the party.
I'm just saying it's all because of you.
Well,
that's
the
why.
Worst part of about a party is when nobody shows up. But this is obviously
this
not
is
that.
This is not going to be the problem here.
Nope.
We just want everybody to bring a present. That's the thing. A toy for a child.
For the
Toys
kids.
For Tots, because this is really nice. About Toys for Tots. But we have sponsors here, so we're going to keep promoting it no matter what is going on here.
I remember once, a long time ago, I worked for an FM talk show station. And,
I recall that.
We had set up an appearance, and when I showed up, I said, oh, did you already let everybody in? Because there's nobody outside waiting to get in. That was not the case.
That wasn't. But, oh.
It's okay. We carpooled home.
Yeah. All right, so let's talk some movies, shall we?
Yeah.
As you mentioned, holiday season, and with Thanksgiving coming early, we get more weeks of great holiday movies. So Creed 2 is actually hitting theaters like right as we speak. Like within an hour, Creed 2 will be coming out. The sequel, of course, to Creed, which was the sequel of sorts to the Rocky
and shockingly
movies,
good, right? I thought, for what it was. I did not anticipate that it was going to be what it was.
You know, Rocky Balboa came out in 2006, and that I felt like that was a really good fitting close to the Rocky franchise after the debacle that was Rocky V. Then, a dozen years later, we get Creed. But here's the thing. Not only did Sylvester Stallone participate in the script, which he does with all the movies, but Ryan Coogler was the director just before he went on to do Black Panther. So you had a world-class director, yeah, a mega talent, and Michael B. Jordan, who was right on his way to becoming an A-list star. So all the ingredients were there. So Creed was great. Now in Creed 2, and it is, you know, I always say the Rocky movies are basically like superhero movies, but the superhero is a guy with a 97 IQ from Philly who bounces a ball in boxes, Rocky Balboa. But the villains are just like superheroes. Clubber Lang, Thunder Lips, Apollo Creed, Ivan Drago, who in Rocky IV killed Apollo Creed in the ring. It was supposed to be an exhibition, but the ruthless Russian killed the beloved Apollo Creed. Remember what he said? If he dies, he dies. He didn't care. He killed him. So now we move to the present day. Adonis Creed, who is the son of Apollo Creed, is the heavyweight champion of the world. And who challenges him? Victor Drago, son of Ivan Drago.
No!
Because it's pretty interesting what they show us here is that after Ivan Drago lost in Russia to Rocky Balboa, he was ostracized by those bastard Soviets, Russians, living in the Ukraine. His wife left him. He had no money, so now it's just him and his son working like horrible jobs, and he's turned his son into a killing machine. So now we got Victor Drago up against Adonis Creed in Creed 2. So there you go. You got your classic buildup. You're going to have a couple of fights that might not go so well. You're going to get your training montages. We got a clip right here. Here's a little clip. Get excited about this.
But you don't think I could beat him? Is that what you're trying to say?
No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying I'm not going to be here forever.
And what's that supposed to mean?
It means you got to do some smart thinking.
Oh, you want to talk about smart decisions, Rock? You in this house all alone. Who's been taking care of you? Me. I've been here for you. Who else you got? Listen, I'm taking this fight with or without you.
And Rocky does not want to see Adonis Creed because the Victor Drago is this killing machine, and he does not want to see history repeat itself. Oh. He doesn't want to see the son of Apollo Creed in the ring with someone who could literally kill him. So Rocky wants no part of it. So you got all of that. Then you got a nice romance
does he kill
going
him?
On.
Oh, gosh. Yeah,
there's no, there'll be no Creed 3. Drago 2. Yeah. But here's the, you know, the great thing is they bring back Dolph Lundgren as Drago, and he's great. He doesn't have to have a lot of, he had 9 lines in Rocky IV, but he's really interesting. And they even bring in Brigitte Nielsen, who is Stallone's ex-wife, who plays the ex-wife of Drago, who was Drago's wife in the first one. Remember, right, the cool blonde, 6 foot tall. So you got all these repeating characters, and we see where they're at 30 years later. And then, of course, you're going to get those classic montages where, you know, training like crazy and the classic music that everybody knows, the Rocky theme, to get you all fired up. And before you know it, there we are in the ring, 41 years after the first Rocky, and we still find ourselves cheering for the underdog. So 3.5 solid stars.
Wow!
3-2.
Wow!
Yes, it's sentimental, and yes, it's predictable. All the Rocky films in their own way. Yeah. You know what's going to happen in these films.
Mm-hmm.
It's the fun of the journey. It's the fact that we like the character so much.
God, think about that. 1976, right?
Yeah, 76.
The first Rocky. So it's 42 years.
42 years. You're exactly right. Not even 41. 76. And, you know, Stallone, when you think about it, we talk about Hugh Jackman playing Wolverine, but that was a character, you know, from the comic books. But, you know, he's now played Rocky over 42 years in 8 movies.
Yeah.
That's one of the longest running original characters in movie history.
That is, it's very cool. And the first time you see it, and, you know, there were a billion boxing movies.
Yeah.
But Rocky was one of the first boxing movies in color.
Hmm.
Right? Most boxing movies were in black and white. And he sort of dragged the whole genre up into the modernity of the 1970s. And it was interesting to see a guy do that, and it was, you know, working class stories. Basically, it was Rambo in a ring. right? I mean, well, that's what he was kind of what he did with the original. What was the original movie? The Rambo movie, the
First Blood.
First Blood. Yeah. Which is an excellent film.
It actually is. You know, people, after a while, you know, there was one where he played soccer for World Freedom or something, one of the later ones. But the first one, First Blood, which was based on a book, was really good. And Stallone was inspired by Chuck Wepner, lasting longer than anybody thought he would against Muhammad Ali. Right. That was the sort of the inspiration. And it was just, you know, the truth is, he wrote a great script, and Hollywood kept offering him all this money so that Steve McQueen or Robert Redford, these other, you know, kind of blonde leading men would play Rocky. And to his credit, he said, I got to play him. And the script was so good. They're like, this guy's been in like two movies. The Lords of Flatbush, he had three lines, and they let him star in this, you know, smaller budget movie. But that was the brilliant decision right there, because we didn't know the guy playing Rocky, so we could identify with him as Rocky Balboa.
Yeah. Right. It was a Woody Allen movie.
Yeah, a couple lines in Take the Money and Run. He's a mugger. He plays a mugger.
Right. He's a tough on a train.
Yeah. You know, but you think about Stallone. He was almost 30 at the time, in real life, married with a young son, had no money whatsoever, and was being offered like $300,000 or $400,000 to just hand over the script and walk away. And he said no.
Easy choice, must star in it.
Yeah, I mean, that's, I think, you know, 99 out of 100 people say, I got to take the money. And he just said, no, I got to play him. And, of course, that turned out to be a $1 billion decision.
Incredible story.
Yeah, and it's just really well done. And same thing with Creed, too. It still has that, obviously, there's a lot bigger budget, but they did a great job. They got Rocky Balboa, the character, is in Philly. He's living in the house he lived in with Adrian, who passed away. And he's got a nice little Italian restaurant called Adrian's with all his boxing photos on the wall, which is about what you'd expect. Mm-hmm. From a 70-year-old Rocky Balboa, right?
There's a funny story today about Michael B. Jordan, the actor from Creed, and of course also from Black Panther, who is become one of the gigantic star in Hollywood now, right?
Yep.
And he says that he actually goes and dips into the DMs on his social media.
Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh!
Starts following people who are following him that he think are cute, and he's like dating people off of his Instagram account.
I don't think he's the only person who does that.
That's like James Franco made a good career out of that. Got a good run until it turned out someone was a little younger than she said
she was. It's called sliding into the DMs. Wow. Yeah. Bro. It's a thing.
Yes, I know. But
it is crazy when you think of someone of that magnitude.
Yes, it does seem just like, it seems like you're asking for trouble is what that seems like. Hmm.
Yeah.
Especially if you're a star. I mean, like, because you think about,
It'd be if, like, the kid that plays Luke on Modern Family was doing it or something, you know? But it's like when you're a major star, right?
Right. You know? See, that's the point. One would assume that you don't really need to slide into the DMs.
Yeah.
I know, but I think if it happens to people, someone might think, is this even the person?
Right.
Like,
there's
a really
lot of vetting.
A big name to do,
especially with that name. You know, there's how many Michael B. Jordan. He's Michael B. because Michael Jordan, of course, the famous actor, already has that name in the Screen Actors Guild off of Space Jam.
Oh.
That's why he's got to be known as Michael B. Jordan.
Great movie.
Favorite movie of all time, isn't it? Space Jam.
Can you imagine if they had the DMs back in the 90s?
The tail.
Because they had so much trouble.
Yeah.
Darn, if only they had the DMs.
Oh, my goodness.
All that tail that Bugs Bunny was getting for those years.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, my gosh.
He still is.
You got your own rim shot over there? Jeez, come on.
Please.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Creed 2.
All right.
I think it's gonna be an audience
favorite. This makes me so happy.
I like this tangent.
I love the Rocky.
Yeah, that's amazing. I definitely, when they ask me for quotes from the studio, I'll be able to be the only one to give them. He's Michael B. Jordan slides into the role of Creed as he slides into the DMs. Two knockouts.
I think it's kind of interesting how Violetta sort of is admiring him for doing this.
No.
Which I think is kind of weird. Yeah.
It's just, I've heard stories when it happens. It's kind of surreal to people.
Well, I will tell you this. It was not a dating situation, but I recently had a vetting situation where I said to the other person, I want you to, just like they used to do in hostage movies, I want you to hold up a sign and write Hello, Richard on the paper and hold it up on video, or I'm not going to believe it's you.
That's a good test.
That is, yeah.
Boy, was Ivanka embarrassed
when
I got that.
That's not typically what people probably get.
All right.
All right. This is taking on a tangent.
She's back, though, by the way. Did you notice? She's back with a vengeance. It's been five days, and she's been sick, and now she's
saving it up.
Yeah, here we go. Take a look at this. Here we go.
I can talk.
Yeah. I can talk, and I got thoughts, and I'm all for sliding into the DMs.
And I have DMs.
A nation rejoices. She can talk again.
Michael B. Jordan, follow at Vitapod. Or what is your
Violetta Pod.
Violetta Pod.
Oh, no.
One T.
Yes, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I need next week off. I'm going to the Australian premiere of Creed 2.
Wait a minute.
Patty Melbourne.
I know what that
is. Hugh Jackman.
What is that?
All right.
All right. Well, I
oh, God, Creed.
Oh, no.
No, this is not. No, not no. The movie Creed is not
different.
The same.
Totally different.
Oh, no.
I love it. DM me to this. It's going
to change. Yeah, I got your Creed coming up right now. I close my eyes. Begin to pray. I always got a tear in my eye when I listen to Creed.
Ew. Stream down my
face. Arms right open.
And the phone lines.
DM me.
I was going to say, I wonder if Cheesy DJ has ever tried that.
Oh, he yeah. would be the best.
Right off the, no, right off the 981-7200 lines. That's where Cheesy DJ does all of his dating. That was that. I would just like to tell you that the call-in lines and radio stations were the precursor to Tinder.
Oh, what do you mean? You just match them up?
Oh, the geez. Number comes up. Remember when you look at the screen?
Well, so not back in the day. It didn't.
It didn't.
Oh no.
Then how did you? Connect?
Oh God. When you like, I maybe Cheesy DJ could tell some stories a little bit later on the program about how that worked. Yeah. Oh boy.
Yes, please.
If you've ever seen Play Misty for Me, you know it doesn't end
sure.
well.
Yeah, that's a good
all right,
film.
Can you stick around to the next half hour here? We can talk about the other films that are coming out this weekend
let's
and what
that.
Else is happening.
Absolutely.
Richard Roper is here. Yeah, it's the Rokan Show with Anna mm-hmm. DeVlantis right here on 720 yes. WGN. It's Mr. Richard Roper with us. Mm-hmm. Violetta will keep us up to date on what's happening there with the CTA. That's pretty interesting. Thanks.
And we have just a little update now for traffic. Lake Street is also blocked in both directions between Clinton and Canal. That's as police are responding to that suspicious package.
Oh.
Okay, and that's a suspicious package on a train, or is it somewhere? We don't know?
Early reports are that it's on a train, aboard a train.
Okay. Right now there's somebody going, damn it, I forgot my Christmas gift.
Oh, jeez, you know, unfortunately.
In Macy's bag.
Mm. Yeah. Wow.
Hopefully that's all it is.
Yeah.
Yep. All right. So we're talking about the movies coming out this weekend. It's Thanksgiving weekend, so that's a big time for families. They're together. They really don't want to necessarily be together.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Everybody has traveled to some aunt or uncle's house or dad's house or
exactly
whatever.
Right.
And now they're they got to figure out now what do we go see?
The Friday and the Saturday after Thanksgiving, or even later day Thanksgiving, because even then sometimes the family's already starting to fracture. So if you're footballed out, it gets to be about 5 or 6 o'clock on Thanksgiving. A lot of people are like,
let's go
to the movie.
Shopping. And some people go to the movies.
A lot of people like to go to the movies. It's because you can go to separate multiplexes, too.
And you don't have to talk to each other.
And you exactly. So that's how that works. Nobody, usually, not during Creed, no one's going to yell at, make America great again. Usually. But we are taking on those riskies in there. So we got Creed 2.
They're our friends now.
Oh,
he wrote this. This is the wrong thing. I wonder how many people wearing MAGA hats are going to be rooting for the Russian in this case.
It is confusing.
You might want to think about that over the guy, over Michael B. Jordan. It might actually work. Man. All right, go ahead.
So we liked Creed 2, and now we also have coming out this weekend, actually coming out today, Ralph Breaks the Internet, which is the sequel to The Charming Wreck-It Ralph, which, believe it or not, came out 6 years ago. And that was the one. It was so clever because it was about characters inside old-fashioned console arcade games. John C. Reilly was Wreck-It Ralph, who was kind of in the role of a villain smashing houses, and Sarah Silverman was Vanellope, who was the cute little race car driver, and she had a glitch, which was kind of a neat way of having a younger character with a disability, if you will, and overcoming mm-hmm. it. So there's a lot of nice messages, and they become really great friends. Now, for Ralph Breaks the Internet, we've moved forward in time, and Ralph and Vanellope have to enter the internet through a modem because they have to go to a place called eBay to get a part for Vanellope's console game because that's the only place that's available. They're selling the steering wheel there. So they're going to go into the internet. So this movie has a really cool representation of the internet. This is a Disney movie. So when Disney does a movie, that means you don't have to pay for the rights to all those Disney characters. It's just up to Disney. So while they're in the internet, there's all kinds of Disney type of activities. stormtroopers will go walking by, superheroes, because they own, yeah, because they own all these various characters. So the adventures in the internet are all about, you know, Ralph and Vanellope navigating the internet. The depiction as eBay is hilarious because every item there's like an auctioneer, you know, auctioning it off, and then avatars bidding on it like crazy. There's a YouTube, basically YouTube. They call it BuzzTube, I guess, because they couldn't call it YouTube, but it's YouTube, mm-hmm. where Taraji P. Henson voices the, you know, kind of the avatar that controls everything and explains to people if you're not throwing a cat around or doing something like that, you're just not going to trend. So there's all kinds of neat little inside references going on, and then just a nice little friendship story. My favorite part, I don't want to give too much away about this, but it's really cool, is that there's a moment where little Vanellope, the Sarah Silverman character, happens upon a group hangout where it's all the Disney princesses in the history of Disney animated films, beautiful, all hanging out, having commentary on their own storylines, which is really interesting. And it was pretty gutsy, I think, for Disney to kind of acknowledge certain things about some of the characters. And in the case of all the modern Disney princesses, it's all the voice actors who really do. So you've got like great. Kristen Bell from Frozen, or, you know, all the actresses who voiced the characters of the Disney princesses. So there's a lot of that stuff that the parents are going to get while the kids are just going, wow, this has got a lot of bright colors and it's really cool, and things go zoom and pow. It is PG, so the little ones might get a little overwhelmed by some of the stuff. Not so much frightened, but it's just intense, you know.
Mm-hmm. But they'll notice a lot of characters that they love,
yeah,
throughout the whole movie.
They might not understand why the princess from Tangled is also dealing with Frozen, and then here's all of a sudden Pocahontas shows up. What is happening?
So it's got a multi-layered commentary, yeah, about modernity, right?
Yes,
about absolutely. The internet, and about entertainment, and about the role of women in terms of the
exactly.
princess roles.
It's in its own way pretty subversive. Here's a clip.
What can Nosemore help you find today? Umbrella, umbrage, umami?
No.
Noah's Ark, no doubt. Nordstrom Rack, ergonomics, urban outfitters, or cool?
Looks like no one put Humpty Dumpty together again. This guy's a little soft-boiled.
I'm pretty sure he's just trying to guess what you're gonna say.
Yes, I'm sorry, but my autofill is a touch aggressive today.
Let me try. eBay Sugar Rush steering wheel.
Oh, I only found one result for your query. Isn't that interesting?
What? How did you...
Ah, the internet's very intuitive. Thank you, Mr. Nosemore!
Well, you're welcome.
Mr. Nosemore is a search engine, so if you just start saying one letter, you know, or two letters, he starts, you know, intuitive, just like when you're trying to search for something. So,
oh man, sometimes you got to clear your cookies. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Because you start looking for things.
Like, wait a minute!
And all of a sudden, wait, no, no,
that's not what I was.
No, I'm not doing that.
Got to delete the browser history.
And it connects.
That's Internet 101.
Yeah. It connects everywhere if you do it on your phone or the computer.
Yeah.
Key component, if you haven't seen Making a Murderer, the second series, is about a certain internet search engine of a certain individual, which is one of the most horrific things you'll ever see in your life.
Yeah.
And it leads you to believe they might not have gotten the right guy.
So, God, I never saw this. And I'm like, what's going on?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, boy. All right. So
I like the conversation when we were just sliding into the DMs. That was a little more, it was a little less, not too much into the dark web. And they do go into the dark web in this, too. So, again, the four-year-old's not going to understand when a virus attacks the internet in this movie, what's happening. But mom and dad will be amused.
What happens when they check Ted Cruz's Twitter feed?
Oh, well, he's got staffers, as you know, and they do searches.
Don't look up stepsister.
Oh, my gosh.
Senator Cruz, write this down. Delete your cookies and browser history on your computer and your phone.
Especially
and all your mobile
the stuff
devices.
Your staff searches for.
I like cookies.
Or
cookies are
they're
nice.
Always like, they're always like, round up an intern we can blame this on. Who we got out there?
Which one?
Slow check. Somebody's cousin, right? Bring him in.
He's no good.
It's always it's always the intern.
It is.
Cookies is a nickname for Senator Cruz.
Cookies was his stepdaughter's name.
No. Can you just even imagine?
Oh, it was so ugly. It was so awful.
Oh, my.
Next door neighbor was coming over and said, what's going on?
Oh, gosh.
All right.
Jeez.
What is the... how many stars?
Ew.
How many stars for this one?
Three. It does get a little bit too tied up in the self-referential stuff where you almost lose sight of the fun little friendship between the two, but it is a lot of fun.
Sounds
it's
adorable.
A great-looking film.
Seems God, adorable, that little cool. friendship.
And what's it called again?
Ralph Breaks the Internet.
Ralph Breaks the Internet.
Yeah, Ralph Breaks the Internet.
Okay. All right.
Didn't Kim Kardashian do that?
I saw the, you know what's interesting? I saw this on the list, and I was thinking, what could this possibly be?
I didn't realize Wreck-It Ralph.
You liked Wreck-It Ralph.
Yeah, it was a huge hit. And it was, you know, at the time, not, you know, considered like a tentpole franchise. It's a little, you know, it's an original story, and, you know, that didn't have the build up a lot of some of these other animated films, but it was just really, you know, sweet and really well done. But yeah, it took 6 years to come up with a sequel. I think the sequel will do really well too, especially as we've been talking about not that many movies you can take the kids to these days. So they almost all do well.
Is there anything else people should be going to?
Oh my God, just stay away from Robin Hood. There's a new Robin Hood out that's the worst Robin Hood in the history of Robin Hoods. They decided to turn it into an action packed buddy movie with 1980 style dialogue set in the 13th century. It is unbelievably, horrifically awful. One of the worst movies of the year by far.
Isn't this got Katie Holmes' boyfriend in it?
It's got Taron Egerton, who's going to be Elton John. It's got Jamie Foxx, who's going to try to buy up all the prints of this movie at some point and have them erased. And it really is.
I mean, that movie.
They came up with, someone had the idea, let's film this like an action buddy movie. So even though it's set back in the Robin Hood days, everyone's wearing like cool leather jackets, and there's all kinds of, you know, really, really obvious parallels to modern day politics. And you're like, this is,
I thought it was a bit when I saw the trailer.
It really does. It's unbelievable.
Like, is this like a Saturday Night Live?
That's what it looks like. That's exactly what it looks like. It's like, you know, they actually film it and display it like an action movie, you know, a modern action movie with the banter and everything, except for it's Robin Hood. And it's just so bad and so stupid. There's a training sequence in this, just like there is in Creed.
Rocky shows
where
up.
Little John trains Robin Hood, like with weights and everything. I'm not kidding you.
In the 13th century?
Yes, in the crusade, in the middle of the crusades.
They're shooting him up.
I'm
like
not kidding you.
Bro, we got a pump. Bro.
Dude, curls for the girls.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did they
have to the gym.
They have protein shakes back
it's
then?
It's so bad.
They actually do. They're eating special foods, and like he's doing push-ups and working out with weights. And then there's like a Harvey Dent character that they just completely rip off from the Batman movies.
A good guy who gets half his face boiled and then becomes the bad guy. I mean, it's like you should get sued by DC Comics for this. It's so bad.
Oh.
Insanely bad. It's so bad that if it's on one time you're home and you're in your second box of wine, you might want to watch it.
It's that bad. It's bad. It's entertaining. It's,
yeah,
Robin, let's go pump some iron, bro.
You should talk during this movie. As much as I hate when people talk during the movie,
what did you? What? Look out, Jimmy Fox! You're gonna get hit by a dumbbell. You can't bench that, Jimmy Fox.
Maid Marian has the most sophisticated makeup and mascara that I've ever seen on a woman in modern times.
It's she looks like she's going to the clubs? Does she look like she's going to Concrete Cowboy?
She
afterwards?
Does. It's insane. As she's feeding the starving people of Nottingham because the sheriff is a 1%er.
No.
They don't say 1%, but pretty much. There's a lot of talk about, like, you know, redistributing the wealth. We will never do that. We must make Nottingham great again. I'm not making this up.
Red hat.
I was at this movie. I'm telling you. I couldn't believe
it. It's hard to believe.
Yeah. I kind of want to see it, though, now.
Yeah, of course. Taron Egerton is, it's interesting, he's one of these guys who's, you can't recognize him from film to film, right?
Yeah, he's in those Kingsman movies, this, you know, Secret Service things. He's got talent. But that's the other thing, too. He's a slight fellow. Yeah. He's playing Elton John next summer, okay?
Right. And Elton John.
Yeah, I mean, look, and over the years, you know, everybody from Errol Flynn to, you know, Kevin Costner to Russell Crowe has played Robin Hood, but, you know, in their own ways, those are men, you know, who can. And this kid looks like he got a bow and arrow set for his 7th birthday, and he, you know, and he looks like the lead singer in a boy band. Like, this guy's not going to beat anybody.
All right, stand by, everybody.
So don't see that one.
Stay away from
that. Stand by. All right, Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis.
Yes.
In the middle of a day of broadcast insolence.
That's right, and this is coming just in the nick of time.
So, this is rather novel. This is rather 21st century. That the kids now, you know that show Friends? It's still on. It, like Nick at Night. Mm-hmm. I thought Nick at Night was for kids. It turns out all it is Friends episodes. And it's so weird. Do you realize that that show, the stuff you're watching, is 20 years old?
That's wild.
20. 20.
They'll always live in that time, and it'll always feel like the present.
It does feel like the present. They were brilliant about how they art directed that show.
That show gets so much love, and when it was on, I always just thought it was like, I'm not going to watch that show. But now everybody talks about it like it's this great, historical, amazing show. I didn't even realize it was that critical.
It's timeless. It's timeless. And because even when you watch the fashions, except for the early seasons, the fashion almost still holds up.
Mm-hmm.
And they did a thing where they, like, when they were on a set, their clothes matched the colors of the set. It was a really interesting watch for that. Because it calms you while you're watching the action. Not that there's a lot of action, but you know what I mean. Although it was a little ahead of its time, too, in terms of, you know, like, there was a lot of stuff that was bending the rules of network television in terms of their interactivity, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
And they were all sleeping with each other, so it turned out
right,
it was,
that's where I kind of, I'm real. Like, who was dating who? And if you jumped in at different seasons, it was like, this guy was with this girl, and that girl was right. with this
well,
guy.
If you're going to be friends with someone for 20 years, stuff gets complicated.
Exactly. That's exactly right.
I'm like, they all live together?
So there's a thing called Friendsgiving. So the Thanksgiving episodes of Friends were always great because they didn't actually have any other family that mm-hmm. they would bring in. They would just have Thanksgiving together.
Right. And that's what I thought Friendsgiving was, when you kind of couldn't be home near your family, or then you kind of got together.
Right.
And you were friends.
So they made it, people were already doing this, but they made it kind of a cultural, iconic thing because they... iconography of their own show.
Wait, that's where the term Friendsgiving comes from?
Well, it sort of became a... Mm-hmm. It came to prominence during that era. Yeah, 20 years ago. Ooh. When you were six. Anyway, the point is, people had been doing this. This is the story that we have today, is that people have been doing this well before it was called Friendsgiving. Right, if you didn't have family, you didn't want to travel, whatever it was. Some people stayed at college, right, or at, you know, in the town, they just couldn't afford to go back to wherever their family was.
Or you had to work some of those days. You worked in those businesses where you didn't get the whole weekend off.
But there are even some stories where people, they changed their life, like they moved to the big city, and then they became open about their sexuality,
mm-hmm.
and then they couldn't go back to Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
Because once they came out of the closet, they weren't allowed to go back and, you know, be with grandma, because grandma would give them the stink eye at
Auntie and Anna didn't approve.
Yeah.
Uncle Jordan not happy about it.
Right. Jason, you just stay in Chicago.
We'll handle this.
Well, just don't worry about coming home. I mean, I'm sorry. We're going to miss you for Thanksgiving. I can't go back. No.
The whole family's upset.
Yeah.
Don't answer grandma's call when she
grandma
calls.
Is really, really upset.
She's distraught. We have to pick her up from church.
And your dad's pretty upset, too.
I still love you, though.
A couple holes in the wall we got to patch up.
Yeah.
So you got it. Did you get invited to a Friendsgiving? Violetta, is that what I was just told?
Yeah. Well, I went to a Friendsgiving last year, too. And then we're doing another Friendsgiving this year. Me and my sorority sisters do it every year.
And where are the other family members? They're in prison, or where are they?
No, they're not in prison. Well, we don't do it on actual Thanksgiving.
Do you do it like this weekend?
Yeah.
Or the weekend before, or the days leading up to it?
Yeah, I have to check exactly when it is. We're not as organized as we were last year. But I kind of just show up with I don't bring food. I just bring alcohol at the
end.
It's
just like a get-together. That's just like a
They do a full Friendsgiving. They do a turkey, stuffing, yams, everything, all the traditional foods, and we all get together at someone's apartment. And
so, is it potluck though, where everybody brings something?
Yeah, pretty much. Except for the people hosting, obviously, do the most.
Yeah,
it's not at my parents' house, so I'm never hosting it.
So let me. So what does the Eastern Bloc do for Thanksgiving? Do you guys do a traditional American Thanksgiving?
No. I mean, no. We don't celebrate Thanksgiving.
Yes, you do. I've seen you sitting at a table with your mom with a turkey in front of you.
Well, your mom. Just one member of the family.
Two of them eat the whole turkey. There's got to be more than that.
Well, in my particular situation, the restaurant's still open, so they cook a lot of turkeys and do a lot of food. And
so they do like food drive? Like people can order the turkey from them and get it?
Yeah, they can order the food, and we have a full Thanksgiving
and
dinner there.
Stuff with cabbage rolls.
So, you know, restaurant opens at 3. We do our Thanksgiving at like 1:30. And just you know, pretend we're doing Thanksgiving. But it's not like a full-fledged, you know, we're all invite family. Most of my family's in Europe, so it's just...
No political arguments?
Immediate. No, we argue.
Not in English.
Yeah, not in English. Our conversations end quickly.
They always, right. You know, in Serbia, they end quickly, too.
Abruptly, for sure.
We always knew we didn't like him.
Yeah.
He wasn't one of the family.
Right, exactly. Like in Ukraine. Wait, what did you say?
But I think probably a lot of foreign families try to do a similar feeling, but I don't think it's the same. I mean, I've always gone to my friends' houses for Thanksgiving where it's like a traditional, you know, grandma, grandpa, all the family members are there, and it's, it smells funny, and it's hot, and...
It is always hot on Thanksgiving because, like, the oven's never turned off. So you go through the kitchen. It's like a sauna in there. There's, like, a bunch of people congregating in one area.
There's always a poker table in the basement.
I'm always hot. You got to have the garage door open for Thanksgiving because you kind of pop in. Me and my cousins and the uncles hang out in the garage, get some fresh air, drink some beers. Then we head back into the sauna, get into, like, your fourth plate of food.
Hey, Uncle Bob, have you ever done a gummy bear before?
You want to go around the corner? We got some some joints.
I mean, we could. I mean, I know, like, you're from the 70s, so maybe, you know, maybe you want to smoke. That's fine. We could do that, too.
You ever had a Thanksgiving meal high on gummies? It's wild, Uncle Bob.
And just don't put them in the Jell-O, because if Nana eats them, she's going to die.
We could order some za for dessert.
All right, so it is interesting, though, that people, first-generation Americans, or, you know, the people, the immigrants, the illegals, as the president calls them, when they get it's cute when they try to, like, start their own kind of mix,
right?
Maybe a holiday that is reminiscent to them of what this is about.
Mm-hmm. And you mix in some of the old country sort of flavor with the food and tradition.
I think that they try to stay pretty traditional from my experience of, you know, other cultures.
But they're trying to figure out what, but
how to be traditional. It's hard,
right? Because it's hard to explain what Thanksgiving is to people who don't, may not necessarily understand the full American story, because it's a very romanticized version of here's what we're gonna do.
You go back and dig. It's not quite the way we're taught,
right?
Yeah, I don't think, I don't see Bronco buying our
right, because Serbians
glamorized story, right?
People from the Balkans, you know, Serbians, Croats, Macedonians, Romanians, any of the, you know, the Bulgarians, they are never gonna buy that we came here and we decided that there were the Indian tribes that were across the forest from us, and we thought, you know, it would be nice if we pilgrims all got together with our red-skinned friends and we all shared a meal to talk about the things that we can all do together, which is not how they, that's really not how the whole thing went down. By the way, Ian, do you have the blankets with the smallpox on them to give to our Indian friends?
Yeah, I think they prefer the original story.
Give them fire water, and maybe they will go back and kill themselves. I mean, it's like, that's because, right,
they're not buying apocryphal that story.
So in the real politic of what happened in, you know, southeastern Europe, is a Bronco's not buying any of this. Because he knows.
No shot.
Where you also notice it, too, is in the recipes. So in American tradition, there's so many passed down recipes on the green bean casserole, on the turkey, on which kind of stuffing do you do? Do you do two different cranberry sauces and out of the can? Like, families that haven't been here as long don't have any of that. So we're like, you know,
it's by the book.
Do we have the five things that are supposed to be here?
You don't have, like, the ingredient card in a cookbook that's, like, stained with, like, 10 different Thanksgiving
generations
meals.
Them. Including from the pilgrims when they were, like, the real first Thanksgiving was a massacre.
And then my grandma's throwing, like, baguette into everything. I'm like, I don't think that's right.
So you guys probably don't have a lot of marshmallows in your side dishes.
Everything's pickled. Yeah. A pickled green bean casserole. Pickled mashed potatoes. Pickled everything. Pickled turkey.
Maybe our Indian friends will bring us cabbage rolls. Oh, man. Yeah.
You got to start somewhere, Violetta. I think you should kind of spearhead this for your family.
Am I,
you know,
starting it?
Yeah. Go all out. Get the full-blown traditional American.
My mom does. And she puts the mini marshmallows on the sweet potatoes. Mm. She does. She does it right. She picked it up
on Facebook. You're trying to make it work.
Yeah, we're trying.
Yeah, we're trying.
Family
members.
I mean, I do love it because for me, it's the one day. It really isn't about anything except for, you know, getting family together and watching football.
And having a great meal.
And a meal and
eating until you're very uncomfortable. And you got to undo the top button.
But this year's going to be a little unusual because I know a lot of Thanksgiving dinners, including ours, are usually early, like 2 p.m. for whatever reason, because you eat over the course of hours and hours and discuss. And the Bears game is at 11:30.
I know. I already told my whole family. I'm like, I'm not doing anything until the final snap. Until that final
whistle.
But that's
2:30.
It's 2:30, but I agree with Anna. We're normally like early.
Yeah, I mean, people start gathering pretty early.
Everyone's just ready to eat, you know? It's like, let's go start eating.
Well, okay, so now on Thanksgiving, the NFL, they did like do a concert at like halftime. And it reminds me of like what the early Super Bowl concerts were like. It's totally meaningless and irrelevant.
I know.
So right?
Get on with it.
It's like Up With People comes out and they do a dance with the flag and they move around and you're like, oh, okay. And it happens at you know, in Dallas and in Detroit. What's the night game?
The night game, Saints hosting the Falcons. We got some really good matchups this year. Bears, Lions to kick off. Redskins, Dallas Dallas, which is a meaningful game in the NFC East.
Yeah.
And then the Falcons trying to stay in it in the South at New Orleans. New Orleans looks like they're, you know, Super Bowl bound. So
do not give Alex Smith a turkey leg because it will just bring back very, very painful memories.
Also, football
give him the wishbone.
Is not a Serbian thing.
Right. You tell them to put football on 11 a.m., you got like the Premier League going on or
something. My dad's like, oh, the Bears are doing good. I'm like, oh, Dad, I can't.
Don't even try.
Hey, even if Bronco's getting involved with the Bears, you know they're making
He might be interested in basketball, though, now. I don't know.
No, he tries. He watches them all, but I don't know if he knows what's going on.
That's all right.
I'll teach Broncos sports football.
This is the beautiful thing about America, is it really this is about just celebrating the goodness and being thankful and being kind and considerate and about family and about a certain amount of humility. That's what this is all about. And here is Chris Wallace. Do we have enough time to play this? Here is Chris Wallace from Fox News Channel, from Stephen Colbert last night, explaining how not to fight at Thanksgiving.
If your family is fighting about whether to serve roasted turkey or fried turkey, just go ahead and serve them wild turkey until they're too drunk to argue. The dinner table is no place for fighting, so make sure to set up a battle pit in the backyard and leave room for the kids' battle pit. Have an especially argumentative family? Baste your turkey with extra tryptophan. They'll be napping on the couch before anyone can chant, lock her up.
Tryptophan? This is serious drug. Wow. Forget the gummies.
Do not let family leave the table without saying, excuse me, or freedom of the press is a cornerstone of our democracy. Can't decide who has to clean up after Thanksgiving dinner? Do the smart thing. Just move. Happy moderating and happy Thanksgiving.
Yeah, there you go.
Well done.
Although the locker, I believe that this whole Ivanka thing has gotten dropped in to the news ecosystem today. So the people will fight even more on Thursday. I think the Russians have done this to ruin Thanksgiving.
It's a good one. One sure to come up.
Right, because now everybody's tables. Oh, you want to lock up Hillary? What about Ivanka?
And then you got to explain to Grandma what emails are and what servers are. I don't understand.
Well, this is totally different. This is a private server. She was using Gmail and nobody erased anything.
Would you put some pictures up on my Facebook?
It is a hot one.